are back. Episode 19 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Rubato, with the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is Trent Singer. The other half of the co-host from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good. My basement's warm now after starting this thing up at 9 in the morning for when we recorded the CCHA show this morning. So it's nice. Everything's going good here.
Yeah, well, it's not gotten any warmer in Bemidji, and it's all doom and gloom here because it's just negative 30 degrees perpetually, and that's fun. But we do have a heater of an interview today, and it was Lucas Wallen from St. Thomas. And I think Trent and I would both agree this is one of our favorites of the year. I mean, this was an outstanding chat with a guy that could not only have a broadcasting career whenever he's done, but probably a lengthy coaching career as well. So, Trent, what do we talk about with Lucas Wallen?
Yeah, so we did the usual. You know, we talked a little bit about kind of what St. Thomas is going through right now. You know, they were preseason favorites to start this season in this conference, and it was tough sledding in the first half, but they picked things up, and they're 8-3-1 since the start of the new year. We talked a little bit about what that turnaround has entailed, and then, you know, we went into his career. You know, he's from Woodbury, played at Hill Murray in the cities, and so we talked a little bit about playing youth hockey in Minnesota and what that's like. He got the chance to play at the state tournament in 2018. Probably the biggest crowd he's ever played in front of at this point. And so, it was a cool experience for him. And then we talked a little bit about his junior career. You know, he started in the NAHL 3 and worked his way through the NAHL, eventually ended up in the USHL with the Lincoln Stars, and asked him about the opportunity to come to St. Thomas and what all that entailed. And he's been there. This is his junior season. It's his second season as a captain for the Tommies. So he was a captain as a sophomore, which is pretty remarkable in and of itself. And, now he's in his junior season. He's been a double-digit point getter every season for the Tommies, was a second-team all-CCHA guy last season. And obviously he's a part of what is important at St. Thomas in the Believer class. This class of juniors, it's kind of the foundation that Rico's brought on board. Got his take on a few of his teammates. We talked about the excitement within the program with them switching to the NCHC here in a couple of years and the arena that's soon to be built there on campus. So, we also asked them about the Four Nations, because I think it's kind of a topic of conversation right now. A lot of people are kind of learning about hockey in a lot of ways from seeing the Four Nations. And last week the Tommies were off, and so him and his teammates and whatnot got a chance to take it in. And so we got his take on that and closed it out with some one-timers. So, this is definitely one of my favorite interviews. I think you guys will really enjoy it. Jared said it best. We talk with him, either broadcasting or coaching. He's got a clear future ahead of him in either one if he wants to go that route. I know he's got professional hockey on his mind. Let's not kid ourselves here, but, at a certain point, he's definitely got some stuff down the road to ponder. So yeah, it's a great interview. I think you guys will enjoy it, especially if you're Tommy's fans.
So let's kick it over to our interview with Lucas Wallen.
Welcome into another episode of the Reporter's Corner. As we said, this is episode 19, and we have a great guest, Lucas Wallen, junior for the St. Thomas Tommies. I mean, you guys are, off to a great start here in the second half, and we'll kind of just jump right into this stuff. You know, I mean, I'm curious to know, Lucas. You guys started this season off with some expectations, right? You're preseason favorites in this conference, but it was sort of tough sledding through the first half. And now, though, it seems like you guys are really kind of finding your groove here in the second half. You're 8-3-1 since the start of the new year. That includes a 3-2 win over first place Minnesota State back in late January. I'm just curious, you know, what do you feel like has been kind of the biggest key to this midseason turnaround for you guys?
Yeah, I think definitely at the beginning of the year, we were being the hunted. So we had high expectations. We were predicted to go be number one and all this thing, but you're going to get the best from every team when they're playing you, and they want to beat the number one. That's what Mankato's getting right now, and they're the hunted. So I think we kind of weren't ready for that expectation right away, and we didn't really get every bounce that we wish we could have gotten at the beginning of the year, the first half. I think the second half was kind of just a quick reboot, reset, had a little Christmas break, guys went home, kind of just a little mental break, and now that we've gotten a little bit of confidence and a little bit of swagger back, it's been fun, been winning some games.
Did it start to kind of turn around again in that series against Lindenwood? I know it was a little bit of an uglier kind of sweep, but that's really kind of when the wins started to pile up.
Yeah, I would even say it even went a little bit further to Michigan Tech right before that, actually. So we ended up losing. We won that Saturday night's game, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I think we were kind of like, oh, this is – we can start winning games. Like, this is fun. We had a long bus ride home. We're like, oh, this is good. Instead of sitting in quiet on the bus ride home and a good 10-hour bus ride, we could have some fun on the way home.
Right.
We were more like, heck, we could turn this into a season if we start figuring it out. So,
yeah, and, you know, you're a junior now, and you've gotten a taste of what it's like to play postseason hockey and what this kind of sprint is like in the second half and what it takes to compete in February and March. And I just want to ask, you know, what changes around this time of year in terms of intensity and preparation? Like, is there anything that you've learned over the past couple of seasons that kind of helps you dial into this home stretch here?
Yeah, I would definitely say coaches and teams rely heavily on their guys that have produced throughout the season. But it comes down to playoff hockey. It's not whether who's scoring, if the number one scorer is scoring the most goals. It's if it goes in the back of the net, you got to win the game. We don't really mm-hmm. care who scores. If the goalie scores, great.
Right.
We just want more goals than they do. So in playoffs, it kind of turns into a, you got to stick to your role and you got to figure out what your role is throughout the whole season. And once you figure that out, you got to stick to it and grind.
Absolutely. Well, we want to talk a little bit about your early playing days and kind of how your love of the sport materialized. So you're from the Twin Cities, the suburb of Woodbury, which is just east of St. Paul, for those of you who don't know. And you played high school hockey for a pretty prestigious school in the Hill Mary School in Maplewood.
Yes.
How did you first get into hockey? What can you sort of tell us about your experience playing prep hockey in Minnesota?
Yes. So I am actually youngest of four kids. So I have two older brothers and an older sister. So I kind of was growing up kind of getting my butt kicked by my older brothers and
getting a lot of hand-me-downs too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hand-me-downs. And we were always playing knee hockey and just always playing hockey. Everyone in my family played hockey, even my dad. My dad played Division I at Maine and then 2 years in San Diego after that as well. So hockey was kind of all I knew. I started playing hockey when I was about 2 years old and never looked back since. So all my siblings went to Woodbury High School and played high school hockey there, and then they all decided to go the college route, and I wanted to try to pursue the juniors route and see what could happen.
Before we get into the junior stuff, I wanted to ask you too, because I believe in 2018 you played in the state tournament for Hill Murray.
Yes, I did. So I play with some of the guys that I played against in high school and mm-hmm. even in the state tournament. I play against Grant Doctor. His Minnetonka team ended up winning the whole thing. Shout out to him. But
yeah.
No, they had a great squad. You build a lot of great relationships through hockey. It's just such a small world. And yeah, the state tournament was a crazy experience. I actually wore number two back in high school and we didn't have a number one. So when they did,
so you're the first kid.
Yeah, so we were the A team. So we actually, I was the first one to skate out and go, "Hey, mom, hey, dad." So I was, I was crapping my pants doing that, but it was pretty cool.
I want to ask too. I want, like, just what's that feeling stepping on the ice at the X for that first time in that tournament? The high school hockey tournament is like the most prestigious thing Minnesota hockey has to offer at that level, and it's like only a select few kids get a chance to play in it. So what was it like just being a part of it and maybe the shell shock?
Yeah, that was most people I think I've ever played in my life. So there was probably about 18,000 there. We had the night game.
Yes.
So it was packed. You get out there for warmups and it's sold out. And you just have chills all the warmups just trying to hit the net. And you're like, uh-oh, I got to go out there for my shift. And yeah, it was definitely a challenge, like a wake up call for early in my hockey career to like, oh my gosh, like this is a really cool experience. But it was not easy to play with how awesome the crowd was.
Oh, I got one more for you too. Was Bill Lechner your head coach?
Yes, he was.
He is as legendary of a high school hockey name as you can find in Minnesota.
Oh my gosh, he's awesome.
For him.
Awesome guy. Awesome coach, awesome guy. Nothing but great things for him, and he did great things for me as well and pushed me to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, I your junior hockey career is interesting because it started in the NA3HL with the North Iowa Bulls in 2019-20. You know, that season you racked up 59 points, including 32 goals, and you were named Rookie of the Year in that league. Can you sort of walk us through how that opportunity came about for you and just what that was like for you?
Yeah, so I'll back up a little bit. Out of high school, I wouldn't say I was like an amazing high school player. I would say I was a little bit above average Minnesota high school hockey player. Like I was all right my senior year, had about a point a game-ish, and then ended up getting drafted by the Topeka Pilots in the North American League. Went to their camp, ended up getting hit from behind, separated my shoulder, did some rehab, got fully healthy. So they didn't end up picking me up because I was injured. And so I got fully healthy, I drove 9 hours up north to the MJ, the Manitoba Junior Hockey League, tried out there for the Neepwa Natives, ended up making the team. And the coach called me in his office, told me that I made the team after tryouts. And I kind of told him like, I'm grateful. I'm glad I made the team, but I don't think I could see myself playing here. Like just wasn't a right fit. Like I'm more of a homebody and their town population was under like 200. So I wasn't a huge fan of that. They had a Dairy Queen and a McDonald's. That's about it. But so I ended up making the drive back home. It was a long drive back home. The guy that ended up getting me out to the MJ to do that tryout was not very happy with me. But I called my dad and he's like, yeah, you still have an opportunity if you want to keep playing. Like, I'll pay whatever. If you want to keep the dream going, keep going. Like, I think it'd be a good idea. I think it'd be cool. College is always going to be there if you want to fall off and go do college. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So I ended up going to the North Iowa Bulls, Todd Sandin, Mason City, Iowa, which was only about 2 hours from Woodbury, not too far.
Yeah.
So my parents were able to come to a bunch of games. I kind of just said, screw it. I had fun. Met a lot of great friends. I mean, longtime buddies. Still talk to today. So just kind of had fun. Ended up getting called up to the Jamestown Rebels for a little bit throughout the season. So I was there for about a month and a half. Which was a little bit of a different experience going from, close to home and then flying all the way, just dropping everything and flying all the way out to New York and not having a car or anything. So I was kind of just stuck out there, stranded, didn't play many games there. And then they ended up sending me back to North Iowa and played at North Iowa, got a couple games in with Kenai that season as well. And then I ended up tendering with Kenai after that. And then once we were supposed to have our first playoff game at North Iowa, COVID shut our season down.
Oh,
kind of unfortunate. Took the ring right off our finger. We were predicted to win the whole thing and we had an unbelievable team.
Yeah. I want to ask you a little bit about that too. Cause I was out in Alexandria covering the Blizzard, which was, and I think they were in the same division.
Yep.
And Null 3 is a really, really interesting level of hockey because you have some of the more talented kids you'll watch who are, for just whatever reason or another, are playing Null 3. And then you have some kids that are just not there talent-wise. Like and it's different for every team, right? Sometimes you have a stacked team, and I remember that North Iowa team. I mean, Trent, he's not kidding. They were going to win the whole thing that year.
Right, they were.
So much better than everybody else. And then you have teams like Alexandria where they're getting 100 penalty minutes a night because they can't keep up with anybody. And there were games I'd cover that'd be 25-0 one way or another. Jeez. Like,
yeah, it was a ridiculous. Fun league. I got treated extremely well there too.
Yeah.
We just we had our old arena. It was called The Barn. And it was like a legit tin barn. These crazy Iowa fans would come bang on the walls and it would be sold out every night. And then we ended up after Christmas break, we had a new building that just got built. That's where the new Mason City Toros and the yep. North Iowa Bulls NA team plays now. It's an unbelievable complex.
Yeah, no, it's super rare for Pete kids to come out of the Null 3 and put, you know, make it to Division One. You know, for you, when you were there, was there ever any doubt that you would end up at a Division One school just with how low the percentages of the kids that go that route?
I wouldn't. So in high school, you kind of you always have that dream of playing in the NHL and playing mm-hmm. Division One hockey. That's your it's your lifelong dream. You're playing knee hockey in the basement. And you're yeah. oh, I'm the Gophers. I want to go score. I'm North Dakota. I'm blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
TJ yeah. Oshie. So you imagine that you're a Division One player and you look up to those guys. And when you're in the NA3 and you're kind of like, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anyone go Division One playing in NA3. So I wouldn't say my dreams were completely gone, but I would say my confidence of going Division One right away kind of diminished a little bit once mm-hmm. Once I ended up getting the Rookie of the Year and ended up playing in the North American League, I had a little bit more like, oh, I would say that my percentage is definitely going up of maybe going Division One. And then once I ended up going to the USHL, I was like, heck, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, crazy experience.
Yeah, no, I'm curious to know, too, when did you ultimately decide St. Thomas was kind of the right fit for you at the college level? And what led you to that decision? Did you have any other offers at the time?
Yes, I did have a couple other offers. I went and toured a couple other schools as well. It was actually pretty early into my USHL season before I kind of built my confidence and started going off a little bit. I actually got a call from Leon Hayward and then Rico Blasi as well, and kind of just the location, the education as well. Like I said, I'm a homebody, so it's not far from home. It kind of gives back a little bit to my parents as well, who've been
right.
sticking with me and kind of helped me pursue my dream. So it gives back to them. They can come see pretty much every game. They're at every home game for sure. So it's unbelievable. I know Rico's had past championship teams, and what he told me and what he preached to me and promised has been everything. So he's been nothing yeah. but gold to me.
Yeah, and I mean, each of your three seasons so far, you've had over double-digit points. And I'm just curious, what was that freshman season like for you? You know, how was it adjusting to the college level and the speed and the increase in physicality?
Yeah, I was actually – I tell some of my other guys this. I was surprised. I would say it depends on what division or conference you play in. The CCHA reminds me a lot of the North American League. It's mm-hmm. faster, but it's a lot harder, grittier. Like, you're going to get hit. But you go and play a Big Ten team. Like, we went and played Penn State out in Penn State. Mm-hmm. It was the best my body's ever felt. I didn't get touched.
Yeah, no one it's me. Different. It's
no
different.
One hit me. It was like I was playing a USHL game again. I was like, this is crazy. Yeah, I loved it, but it was like I wanted to hit someone and take someone's head off. Like, that's just the yeah. way I play.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely different. My freshman year was a little bit of hiccups. I ended up battling an injury. I blocked a shot, ended up cracking my kneecap.
Oof.
New Year's Eve. We went down to Duluth, ended up, we were on the penalty kill, ended up selling out for a Ben Steves one-timer, took it to the top of the kneecap, cracked it right down the middle, and then ended up still going out later with the guys that night. Couldn't walk, but hang out with the guys.
You lose credit if you don't, man.
Yeah.
Did you have a welcome to college hockey? We asked this to all the players that come on, but like a moment where you're like, oh man, like, getting hit that hard the first time or getting burned on the blue line one, like, that's like, I got to wake up a little bit.
I don't know. I don't know if I had like a crazy hit or welcome to college, but I was definitely like a holy crap moment was when I started my first college hockey game, and it was sold out against St. Cloud. I started the first game and I was like, holy crap. Like, this is college hockey. This isn't high school or junior hockey anymore. I'm not getting right. beer spilled on me in Des Moines. This is legit.
So, I, you know, obviously we'll fast forward a little bit. Your sophomore year rolls around. You were named team captain, and you went on to tally 30 points and were second team All-CCHA honoree that year. What did it mean to you to just be named captain so early on in your college career?
Yeah, I've told a couple different journalists as well this. There's definitely hiccups. I had two fifth-year older guys that were my captains as well, my alternate captains or assistant captains, whatever you want to call them. And they were nothing but support. My team that helped me that year as well, they were very supportive. Whether it wasn't just like talking on the bench, they would listen, but they would also, if I was going, they were following. If I was hitting guys, they were, oh, crap, he's hitting. I'm going to go hit someone. Mm-hmm. So it was more just forgetting about the seniority aspect and kind of just saying, hey, he's there, let's follow him.
Yeah, for sure. I to follow up on that too, you know, I got the chance to see you guys last year in the series against Minnesota State. It would have been around this time last year, and obviously, you know, you took a big jump from your freshman to your sophomore year, and I'm curious to know, was there anything in particular you really focused on in terms of elevating your game on the ice from that freshman to that sophomore year?
Yeah, there was a couple things during the summer. Obviously, you can always get bigger, you can always get stronger, right. Trying to improve your weight, your speed. The thing I really pressured was trying to gain weight and keeping my speed the same or even getting faster. So once a lot of players struggle, they want to put on a lot of weight during the summer, but then they lose speed, which can really affect their game and how some players might play. So I wanted to make sure I got that quick start still in that jump. And another thing I really focused on is just shooting the puck quicker, getting it on and off your stick, surprising goalies, just finding soft areas where goalies might not be able to handle pucks.
Yeah, for sure. You were part of what Rico likes to call the believer class at St. Thomas, and which is, I mean, it's really kind of the foundational group of players, players Coach Blasey brought in. And, for those, who don't know what the term believer class means, what does that embody to you guys?
Yeah, so we actually, our freshman year, we came up with this slogan. It's called Faith in Brother. We translated to Fides and Fratrum, which is faith and brother. So we kind of, at the beginning of the year, we did this team bonding event and we kind of all met up and, we discovered this faith and brother where it's like, you have everyone's back. So we did this thing where you put faith down the middle and they all stand for something. So like F is for family, like stuff like that. So we all kind of just go by this. So on each of our shirts, on jerseys, stuff like that, it's Fides and Fratrum. It's in our locker room. It's all over the place. So it's like our believer group is like, we're that brotherhood. We're that core group that's been around. We were all kind of promised when we were recruited that we'd play in this new rink. And they're like, oh, yeah, it'll be done by your sophomore year. And, now it's senior year and crap, we're going to go play in it now. So it's
coming.
Like, we believe we stuck through it and we kind of trusted the process of what they were saying, and we've all kind of stuck around, and hopefully we can get a banner up in the rafters of that new rink.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see it, man. There's a couple guys we want to touch on and just kind of hear your thoughts. First off, Liam Malmquist. He's tied for the league lead with 32 points and has just had a heavy offensive presence this season. Obviously, you center the top line most nights with him on your left wing. What makes him such a special player?
He's one of the most talented players I think I've ever played with. I wouldn't single out some of my other buddies that I've played with in the past, but he's an unbelievable player. Credits to all him and all the work he's put in. I mean, his skill set is unmatched. He's way higher than me. He'd crush me in a skills competition. I might have him on the speed, but any hands or shot, he's got me.
Yeah. Another guy I want to touch on, Cooper Gay, fellow junior. He stood out to me when I saw you guys in person. He came to St. Thomas the same year as you, obviously.
Yep.
And right now he's leading the league with 15 goals. What stands about his goal scoring ability that makes him so unique?
Yeah, I think he's kind of found his role and kind of the game he should and can play. Because he's a big dude. He's whatever, 6'4".
He's huge.
6'4" on the score sheet, and he's kind of realized that how to play like a 6'4 player. So the reason he scores so many goals is because he's not afraid to hit somebody and get to the dirty area. You look at where most of his goals are scored, it's at the net front, whether he's screening, tipping, or just whacking pucks in the net. I mean, he's got an unbelievable shot, great speed, and he's a strong body.
You know, obviously we talked about the new arena, and it's super exciting for St. Thomas. And I think another exciting thing is that St. Thomas is going to head to the NCHC. And, you know, it's a program that's bound to just get more and more excitement as, you know, the arena date opens and as they start to kind of cement themselves as just, hey, we're here in D1 college hockey. We can start playing in the NCAA tournament next year, and all of the things that come with how St. Thomas is growing. And, you know, what is it like to be in the middle of this in a program that is just changing so much year after year?
Yeah, I think it's just exciting. That's the biggest way to put it. It's exciting. Like you said, we're the believers, and we're kind of the stepping stones to that path of being able to accomplish things of what this school is going to accomplish and has accomplished. Mm-hmm. Like you look at this season, we've had a lot of guys. I mean, you mentioned Liam Malmquist. He's broken records this year for the school. Same with Cooper Gay. And there's just records that are going to keep happening and happening. And once the new rink rolls around, the NCHC, that's going to be an unbelievable opportunity for some of the players. I unfortunately won't be allowed to play in it because I'll be graduated by then. But Rico kind of told our class and kind of the guys that have been here, like, this NCHC thing wouldn't have happened without you guys. And you guys are kind of the ones that push it for the newer guys. So the newer guys should be buying you a steak dinner or something to, because you brought them into that league. But no, it's good. It's, like I said, it's exciting, and it's awesome for the organization. Awesome for the staff and the future players that are going to come. And it's going to be pretty cool to see that new arena.
No doubt. We're going to get some one hitters, but one question I got for you, and it's something I've encountered in just talking with people lately. Obviously, Four Nations Face-Off, right? This has just done wonders, I think, for hockey's exposure here in the States. Of so many random people who don't even watch hockey have been kind of asking me about, have you watched this? And
I have been watching it.
Yeah. You guys had a break. It worked perfectly out for you guys during the off week for the Tommies. You guys are able to take it in and whatnot. Have you gotten, you know, you've gotten the chance to watch it. What are your thoughts on just kind of getting to see this sort of high level showcase in the middle of the NHL season?
It's unbelievable. You really realize, like, there's so much talent on that ice, but you realize, like, some of these higher end players, how good they actually are. Like, they stick out with all this talent on the ice still. And it's like, yeah, some of these players are so talented and they're great in the National Hockey League, but once they get in the Four Nations, they might fade away a little bit. But some of these players, like, you look at Eichel or Genzel or Crosby, like, these players have been around and they're succeeding because of what they can do and how much talent they have. So it's unbelievable. I live with a Canadian, so we were kind of going crazy watching the U.S. Canada game. So it was a pretty cool experience.
You talk a little smack during that game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can't say anything bad about those players, but yeah.
Jake Gensel played at Hill Murray too, right?
Yes, yeah. He did. I would say I'm a little, my dad actually coached him growing up in Woodbury.
Did he?
My older brother played with him, which is a pretty cool connection.
Yeah.
That is cool.
All right, we'll kind of start to wrap it up here, but we throw out some deep questions to everybody. So we're curious to see how you answer these, but these are called one-timers, and the first one is just, where is the toughest place to play in the CCHA?
Tech.
Yeah. Tech. It's everybody says Tech.
Tech or Bemidji?
Really? Bemidji's up there. What makes Bemidji tough?
I don't think it's the fan base. I would say it's the ice.
Okay.
I would say the ice is really bad there.
Yeah.
The ice is horrible. I don't know what it is. You go out there for like a morning skate and then you get into the game and the ice is just like all chunked up. You're like, I can't even shoot.
Pass this along, Jared.
Yeah, I know. I'll talk to the guys.
So who's the most talented player you've ever played with?
I'm going to shout out Aiden Thompson.
Oh, that's okay. A good one. Holy
pretty cow. Good.
Unbelievable player.
Yeah, Denver's Aiden Thompson, right?
Yes, at Denver's yeah. Aiden Thompson.
Yep.
Yeah, I figured. Who's the most underrated player you've ever played with?
Underrated player. I want to say Mason Marcellus.
Okay.
He's a Quinnipiac player now, but he was kind of a nobody when I played with him, and oh my gosh, he had an unbelievable year and kind of skyrocketed after that as well.
Awesome. That's a cool answer. All right, yeah, this is a fun one. Who's the most famous person in your cell phone?
Famous person in my cell phone? That's a crazy Max Meyer.
Trotter. Okay. Ooh. Okay.
You know who that is?
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, like it.
He's a pitcher in the MLB.
Yeah.
Yep. The thing is we asked Aaron Trotter this question, and we bring it up to everybody because I think he's got like the one that will never be cleared is he has Connor Bedard's number in his cell phone, and we were like, yeah, I
could say Keith Tkachuk as well.
Okay. Yeah. That's Keith Tkachuk's number. Yeah,
that's a pretty cool number to have.
That is my
I forgot about that one.
I lived in Blues Country for a while, and my old roommate would die for that number.
Who is the best golfer on the team, and who's the biggest sandbagger?
I gotta go. I'm not saying Trotz. I gotta go Ethan Gower or Jake Ratzlaff, best golfers.
He's not saying Trotz.
Not saying Trotter. He's a sandbagger. I'm gonna go biggest sandbagger's gotta be Cooper Gay, though. Cooper's the biggest sandbagger.
We'd have to figure out, go back and look at what
he said. I think he might have said Lucas Wallen. I'm not even kidding. He might have said Wallen.
Yeah. Well, some days I'm on, some days I'm off. You never know. Some days the ball just goes in the hole.
All right. Who's the most superstitious guy on the team?
Oh, superstitious. I feel like we don't have any crazy, maybe Trotter. But goalies are just weird in general. So, like, I don't know if I'd put that superstitious.
He had the maple syrup thing.
Yeah. And he's got, like, stuffed animals in his stall. I don't
know. Oh, he does?
Yeah.
I don't know if we heard about this one. Did we?
Yeah.
Did he bring this up?
I don't know the full background, but I think his dad gave him a stuffed animal when he was a kid. And he got, like, a shutout or something like that. And he's kept it in his stall ever since. Or, like, in his bag. I don't know.
Yeah. It's
I'll have to ask him about that one.
I got one more. Is that a Brewers jersey?
Yeah, Christian Yelich jersey.
Is it because you kind of look like Christian
Yelich? Yes.
Oh my gosh! When you said it was a Christian Yelich jersey, I was like, actually, Lucas Wallen sort of looks like.
Yeah, I get that all the time. So whenever I wear that out in public, I always go, "Oh my gosh, Christian Yelich!" Start signing autographs.
Oh, Perry's gonna love editing this one.
Oh, it's awesome.
Holy cow. Oh, that's all we got for you, Dave.
Well, thank you so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, this is absolutely fantastic. Man, we appreciate you coming on, and best luck to you guys moving forward. I know this is a nice little stretch run for you as the season finishes out, and it's been a lot of fun.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, once again, thank you to Lucas Wallen for joining the show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at TrendSinger and at Jared Urbano BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.